A dream is a theatre in which the dreamer is himself, the scene, the player, the prompter, the author, the producer, the public, and the critic. Psychiatrist Carl Jung wrote that in 1953, and we are truly living it in 2020. All over the world, people say COVID-19 is invading their dreams, and sometimes not in a nice way. Dr. Deirdre Barrett is a Harvard University assistant professor who's been studying dreams for 30 years, and she's collecting samples of dreams during the pandemic to learn more about how traumatic events play out in our sleep. And Dr. Deirdre Barrett joins me now. Hello there.
Hi, nice to be here.
Going to start with a simple one. Why do we dream?
Well, there are probably some reasons that we share with all mammals that our body needs to go into rapid eye movement sleep. We're restoring neurotransmitters. We're regulating body temperatures. But over evolutionary time, all sorts of psychological reasons have also gotten layered on top of that. So we're also thinking and solving problems in our dream state.
What exactly is a dream? And also, when do we dream the most?
We dream every 90 minutes through the night. Almost all dreams happen in rapid eye movement sleep. And so we go into REM 90 minutes into the night, but the first REM period is just like 4 or 5 minutes long, and each one gets longer. So the last one of the night, if you sleep for 8 hours, is about 30 minutes. So people who don't sleep 8 hours, if you sleep six, you're not just losing a quarter of your dream time, you're losing a lot more of your dream time than that.
Yes, that's very interesting. So are we, during this pandemic, are we having different dreams, or is it possible that we're just getting that extra half hour of dreaming because our regular schedule has been disrupted?
Yeah, I think all crises tend to stir up our dream lives a little bit. So we're seeing a psychological effect like we do after storms and 9/11 and things like that. But I think the bigger part of the effect is that we're catching up on sleep, that most people run around a little bit sleep deprived because we don't sleep until we would wake up. We set alarms, we pour caffeine into ourselves. So I think that for the people who are sheltering at home and or furloughed from their job or school, that a lot of people are sleeping more than usual. And so they're having a rebound in their dreams. They're getting that last longest period in and recalling dreams like they never, ever do.
So what are the themes that come up over and over again in your COVID dream survey?
There's one big cluster of dreams that are just about getting the virus. Somebody's having trouble breathing, or they're spiking a fever, or sometimes in a more dreamlike way, one woman looks down at her stomach and sees that it has blue stripes on it. And in her dream, she remembers that this is what medical authorities say is the first sign of COVID-19. So lots just, I'm getting the virus. Then there are metaphors for the virus. I've seen lots and lots of bug attack dreams, every kind of bugs, swarms of bees and hornets flying at the dreamer, armies of cockroaches racing at them, masses of squirming worms. I think that's partly because, I'm not sure if it's the same there, but here common slang is I have a bug means I've got a virus. And I think that it's partly that sort of pun-like thing. Dreams are very visual in their associations. But also I think that the metaphor of lots of small things that cumulatively could kill you makes bugs, a bug attack, a good metaphor. But also I see every metaphor in the world, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, fires breaking out. Sometimes the news about the pandemic will be mixed in. People are being told to shelter in place because of the bugs or the tsunami coming. Or here in the States, we hear in a dream Trump will be telling people that the tsunami is fake news and not really happening. So you get these hybrids of the metaphor, but with a little bit of the details of what you're supposed to do for the pandemic.
Gee, it's a tough life when you can't even escape Trump's media conferences and your dreams.
Yep. Yeah, actually, people around the world seem to be dreaming about their leaders a little bit more than usual. In normal times, if you dream about famous people you don't know, it tends to be movie stars and rock singers and mayors and governors and prime ministers and presidents are getting dreamed about more lately than they usually do.
Well, let me take a moment and ask our audience if they're having any dreams about our Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. Please send them through to me on text or email if that's easier. 2101 is our text number, or jesse@rnz.co.nz, or perhaps you're dreaming about the Leader of the Opposition. Let me know. Thanks. So that's the one thing that's going on, this bug, COVID-19. But then we're also... A lot of us are isolated. We're in lockdown. And I'm interested in whether social isolation affects dreams. There actually have been some studies done with British soldiers who were isolated in prisoner of war camps in the Second World War. Can we learn anything from them?
Yes. I studied these dreams that were collected then. And I found that they had these longing dreams for things they were missing. They dreamed about their families of origins, their hometown, their girlfriends, but also they had more food dreams than any sample I've seen. And they weren't starving, but they had a very bland, boring diet. So they were dreaming about mom's apple pie or going to a pub for their favorite fish and chips. Mm. And I'm beginning to see more dreams that are about social isolation, that are those longing dreams. Those occur more over time, favorite foods that you're not getting to have when you're locked down, but also dreams that dramatize the situation of being locked down. People who are sheltering alone are having some dreams that they're in prison, or there was one woman who had been appointed to be the first Mars mission, and she was on a colony on Mars alone by herself. But then the people who are sheltering with other people sometimes dream exaggerated, crowded dreams that the whole neighborhood has moved in with them and they can't find a place to walk or sit. One woman who was actually homeschooling her child dreamed that the school told her that the child's whole class had to stay with her during the pandemic and she would be homeschooling all of the children in the class. So the dreams dramatize whatever we're feeling about the situation.
Yeah. What about after 9/11? I know you had a look at people's dreams en masse after that event. What did you see?
They were very similar to now in that the most typical person who was hearing things on the news and was very anxious was having anxiety dreams, but the typical dreams were not full-on nightmares after 9/11 or now. But in both cases, the first responders were having terrible trauma nightmares. The fire and police and the people who'd barely gotten out of the lower levels of the buildings were dreaming about bodies falling in the street and all of the things that actually happened. And now from the healthcare providers, I see lots of dreams that are about people dying of COVID-19, that they dream that they're trying to get a tube into their throat, but it's too constricted. The ventilator machine is malfunctioning. Basically, they're desperately trying to save the person's life and they're failing is a typical dream from healthcare providers.
I'm speaking with Dr. Deirdre Barrett, who's a Harvard University assistant professor who's been studying dreams for 30 years. I have to ask, by the way, Deirdre, have your own dreams changed?
Yes, I had a couple of anxiety dreams about the pandemic really early on, one in kind of mid-March and one toward the end of March. And one seemed to be just about something horrible that was just outside the window, and it was set back sort of in the time of the Black Death. And another one, I was trying to get a protective hood on my cat because the air was toxic. Mm-hmm. And I made art pieces from both of those. I often make art from my dreams. Lately, I'm having more dreams about the survey. I will be like arranging rectangles that somehow represent the different types of dreams I'm seeing in the survey.
The art that you make from your dreams, is that does that have some therapeutic value, or is it just a nice hobby?
It's very satisfying. I'm not sure if I'd call it therapy, but typically when I make art, it's because there's some striking visual image that I want to get just right. But actually, these two were different because in the first dream, I was in this nice, safe, but ancient house, and I just knew something was horrible outside. And so when I woke up, I actually made an image of a medieval plague doctor wandering through a landscape of coronavirus particles. Mm. And in the second dream, where I was trying to get this hood on my cat, I didn't see him very clearly. But when I woke up, it was sort of that image of, I actually made it a gas mask in the art. So it feels satisfying to bring an image that only I've seen into the waking world.
You point out that it can actually be useful to do the opposite when you've got a problem in the waking world, to create some sort of physical representation of that to take into your dream with you. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, yes, especially if you're trying to influence your dreams. And in my book, The Committee of Sleep, I talk about this more for influencing them toward a problem you want to solve or a creative issue you want to get inspiration for. But in these times, the application that I've been advising people about the most is, if they want to stop having anxiety dreams, that to form an image of what you do want to dream about. Be it a favorite person or a place, or maybe you like flying dreams, and then just drift off to sleep with a strong image of that in your mind. Or you can even take an object or a photo and put it on your night table to stare at it as the last thing you see if you have an image of the person or place you want to dream about.
If we are having these anxiety dreams, and they can be quite upsetting, can we at least console ourselves with the fact that they might be good for us?
I think dreams are thinking in a different biochemical state, and we're sorting through our problems. And just like with waking thought, it's not all brilliant, important, new things that we're getting straight. There's plenty of circular, repetitive thinking in dreams as well as when we're awake. But certainly sometimes dreams sort through something in a very useful way for us.
You mentioned your book, The Committee of Sleep. That actually comes from a John Steinbeck quote. It's a common experience, the quote goes, that a problem difficult at night is resolved in the morning after the Committee of Sleep has worked on it. And I really love that. There's some examples of artists or engineers harnessing the Committee of Sleep.
Yes, in the book, I start off talking about the visual arts, where about 90% of professionals will say that they use their dreams in their work, and move through literature, which also people have dreamed novels. Amy Tan dreamed one of her novels. Twilight was conceptualized in a dream. Anne Rice dreamed all the flying scenes in her vampire books. But I move on toward things that are less and less common in most people's dreams, such as science and math and music, which most of us don't have in our dreams. But if you spend all your waking time on those pursuits, they do show up in dreams. And Ramanujan, the greatest mathematician in India, said that he dreamed all of his proofs. Billy Joel says that he dreams all his music. Paul McCartney dreamed just yesterday, but it's the Beatles' single Greatest Hit. So dreams have contributed a lot to the waking world.
And, you know, if there are I know there are a lot of creative people listening. If there was an artist listening who wanted inspiration for the next great painting, or maybe a songwriter or a sculptor, can you give us your best tip for leaning on the Committee of Sleep?
The The same process for trying to influence dreams that you would if you were trying to have a happy dream instead of a nightmare, with just a bit of adaptation. If you want to solve a problem or you want to have an inspiration for your creative pursuit, if you just think of that as a simple phrase, if there are any visual aids that help, an artist might put a blank canvas at the other end of the room to look at before falling asleep. And then you tell yourself you want to dream the next scene you're going to paint. You want to dream a song that you can wake up and play. And you just fall asleep with that idea, requesting that of your dreaming mind. It makes it much likelier. Some of these happen spontaneously, but they're much more likely if they're the last things that we're asking of ourselves as we fall asleep.
In the meantime, for people who are wondering if and when these pandemic dreams will go away, what can we learn from history? What can we learn from 9/11? Did they eventually go away for people?
Yes. For most people, the anxiety dreams subsided fairly quickly. As I mentioned, I already see a slight trend for fewer anxiety dreams about the virus and more dreams about issues about the lockdown. The people who have nightmares that persist for a long time tend to be the people who are really badly traumatized, the first responders. Some of those police and firemen after 9/11 were having their nightmares for a long time. And I'm afraid that some of the healthcare workers will stop having the dreams about it within a couple of weeks of the patient load dropping at the hospital, but others will for months and years to come. Also, anyone who's had a bad trauma early in life, especially in childhood, may get stirred up by any new trauma and dream things that are sort of a combination of childhood physical abuse and the virus getting all intertwined in a messy nightmare that they're having now. And those people, it may persist longer. But for most people, the anxiety dreams will subside as the problem does.
And finally, just while I've got an expert here, there's a bit of a Hollywood version of dreams that they tell us who we really are, secrets to unlock about our personalities, our dreams and aspirations. Is there research to back that up?
Well, it's not the science says it's not as dramatic as all that. Dreams, they show us another side of ourselves. It's not necessarily realer or deeper. It's just that we're usually operating in our linear, logical mode. We're usually operating with all the social rules that we've incorporated, and our dreams do think of things we want without censoring them. They just, other impulses come out. So we see another side of ourselves in dreams.
Great explanation. And I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today and for the valuable work you're doing, helping people to understand what's going on in their heads when they sleep during this COVID-19 lockdown. I've been speaking with Dr. Deirdre Barrett, a Harvard University assistant professor who's been studying dreams for 30 years. Thanks for the chat, Deirdre, and good luck with your work.
Bye. Stay safe and sweet dreams.